Welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 11. We are on a journey through the book of Acts. We're seeing this birth of a new era exposed before us as the Lord Jesus, having already resurrected and ascended, is now fulfilling his promise to build his church. And the gospel is being taken to the world. It's been pushed out of Jerusalem to the surrounding areas through persecution. And now, as we come to Acts chapter 11, we're on the heels of last week in Acts chapter 10, where the gospel finally made it to the Gentiles. Cornelius, a Gentile, God spoke to him, and at the same time, God spoke to Peter, a Jewish boy, and he brought those together. Peter went to Cornelius' house, and there the gospel revealed itself. The gospel fell upon those Gentile people who by faith believed. The Bible says they found remission of sin through the power of the gospel. And by the way, I want to pause there for just a moment. The very purpose of the gospel is so that our sins can be remitted. That is why Christ died. He did not die to make us good people. We will never be good people. He did not die to make us perfect. We will never be perfect except in our position through his shed blood. He died so that our sins could be remitted. Otherwise, we would never have any hope of being at peace with God and spending eternity one day with God, which is God's desire for us. So through the gospel, those Gentile believers in the household of Cornelius come to faith. Now, this is a changing time for this group. For the first time, Gentiles have believed. That shook the church at Jerusalem. It'd be like some of the things that we have dealt with as New Testament churches today, but far greater. Word quickly got back to the church at Jerusalem. We're going to read it in a moment, that there were Gentiles that had believed in the Lord. That is not what shook them the most. What shook them the most was Peter went into the household of a Gentile and fellowshipped with them. Of all things, how could a Jewish boy break the law of God and go into a Gentile home and fellowship? That word carries a lot of meaning to it. And so the word quickly travels back to Jerusalem. And by the time Peter gets back to Jerusalem, they're ready for him. They want to talk to him about what has transpired. What in the world has happened? We want to know more, which is where we pick up in Acts chapter 11. So let's read, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him," those Jewish people, "saying, you went in to men uncircumcised, and you ate with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision." He's rehearsing what had happened prior to his going to the house of Cornelius. "He said, a certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, call thou not common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into the heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bid me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, These six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell you words whereby you and your house shall be saved. I've got to pause there, folks. There are a lot of households in Monroe County are waiting for someone to tell them how to be saved. I didn't get one amen. I want to say it again. There are households on your street that are waiting for someone to tell them how to be saved. You have neighbors that you don't even know, that I don't even know yet, that are waiting for someone to tell them how to be saved. Just like God was at work through the Spirit in the life of Cornelius, preparing him for a messenger to come and bring the message of the gospel. Peter couldn't save Cornelius. He simply had the message of the gospel. And you and I today, I don't have time to expound this enough. If there's any one charge I believe God has against you, and I'm personally pointing to you, and then I'm going to turn the finger and point toward me, it is this. We have stopped taking the message of the gospel to households that are lost. I'm just going to camp here and preach a little while. I remember as a lost boy, a lost family, the thing that changed our lives was when God put in the heart of a child of His the desire to knock on my door. Strangers come into our door and one by one sharing with us the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how long it's been since you sat down with a stranger or even a friend and told them the glorious gospel of Jesus. But I can tell you this, I'm so thankful today that it wasn't one of those communities where people couldn't get knocked on a door and somebody come in and tell you the gospel. I'm glad that Ernest Mayo had the passion and the burden to bring the gospel to our household that changed us forever. Aren't you glad somebody shared with your household? Can I tell you the history of this church? Some of you know the history of this church. I remember, and I wasn't even here. I've heard stories of when Brotherhood and WMU were meeting in households, and there would be lost people in those households, and they went there because they wanted them to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Us getting together like this isn't going to save a world that's lost. It's when we take the gospel to them. Peter says, this man Cornelius heard from the Lord through an angel that I was going to come and tell them words that would lead to their salvation. Verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Again, there's so much in here. What Peter is saying, when we remember the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell on us, I saw it happen again. I saw another Pentecost. The Spirit of God came upon them just like it came upon us. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace, those who were contending with Peter, those who questioned what had happened. Peter said, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. We're going to come back to that verse. This is the first shocking admission in the New Testament, a shocking admission from the Jewish people that salvation had come to the Gentiles. Now they which were scattered abroad, we reverse trend just a little bit. We go back to the scattering of the church during the persecution. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose after Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and many people were added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Paul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I want to take just a few minutes of your time and my time this morning now to take this text out of Acts chapter 11. There's much in this text. I'm so grateful for you. Every week, there are some of you that will send me a note, or you will share with me before you leave, hey, Pastor, did you see this? Or you should have spoke on that. Or listen, if you want me to take every verse, we'll be here forever and ever and ever. This is a rich, all of these chapters are rich, but I just wanted to share with you the things that the Holy Spirit of God has impressed upon my heart to share with you this morning as your pastor leader, to be able to hopefully challenge us to take the Word of God and to live it out in our lives. Glorious truths, wonderful gospel truths out of this text, one of which I want to build on from last week, and that is the first one. When we read this text this morning, one of the things that jumps out first at me is this, and that is the glorious admission found in verse 18. A glorious admission regarding the gospel, and that is the fact that the gospel is for everyone. And we dealt with this last week, so I won't spend a lot of time here, but we need to understand that when Peter, and he wasn't defending himself. This is the thing that sometimes we don't understand. When they asked Peter, the Jewish leaders asked Peter, tell us what happened. They were contended with him. Peter does not defend Peter. He defends the gospel. And in his defense of the gospel as to why he went into the household of Cornelius, he makes it very clear that he witnessed the gospel coming to the Gentiles, that they received it just like he had received it. And that the Holy Spirit of God came upon them just like the Holy Spirit of God had come upon him and those at Pentecost. And they had been saved through the remission of sins, it says. And so they rejoice once they hear this. The Bible says that the Gentile or those Jews glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, I hope this morning that you understand that the gospel is for everyone, that the gospel is something that neither you nor I can monopolize, that Christ came so that all men can be saved by faith through repentance of sin. All can be saved. Now, I know not all will be saved, but all can be saved because Christ died so that you and I could have salvation. And Peter is stressing that again this morning. We need to understand this shocking admission, and I want to challenge you in some ways today, because I know how we are as people. I know how you are because you're a lot like me. And you say, Pastor Roy, please do not charge me that way. You're a lot like me. Sometimes I find it difficult as a Christian to understand that principle when people that are, quote, worshiping God, who know God, don't just look like me. They don't meet like we meet and do things like we do it. They don't dress like us. And their customs may be different and their traditions may be different. You say, that doesn't bother me a bit, Pastor Roy. Oh, I dare to say it does, because when that person comes in here, I see it all over your face. Hello, are you out there? Pastor, but you don't understand. I told them they needed to do this. What right do you have to tell them they need to do what? Oh, Pastor, they don't look like us. They didn't sing like us. And Pastor, you don't. They had some differences. Well, okay. Can I tell you what Jesus did one day? There was an occasion in the life of Jesus, you can read about it in Luke, where one of his disciples, John, said to him, we saw someone casting out a devil in your name, and we went to them and forbid them. You know what Jesus said to them? you need to leave them alone. Those that are not against us are for us. What I'm saying about this whole text is this. People may not look like us, but if they know theologically and have experienced experientially the gospel of Jesus in their life, they are our brothers and sisters, and we need to welcome them with open arms as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We don't need to judge somebody by how they look, how they dress, what they do, where they go. We need to judge a person based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, to anyone who by faith repents and believes in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad anybody can be saved, aren't you? I'm glad that the gospel is for all. I love when I can get with people that don't dress like me. They don't have on their pretty suit. They don't have on their fancy clothes. They're not wearing what I'm wearing, but I sense in them, and they start talking about their love for Jesus Christ and how he changed their life. And I think that, God, that's what the church ought to be. That's who we ought to be. So before you the next time judge that brother or sister and say, well, I just don't know if they know the Lord because they just, well, take the words of Jesus and take the words of Peter. I'm glad that the gospel is for everyone. A second thing I would have you to see this morning, something that we need to really see and experience again today, and that is this. I see in this text a reason to celebrate. A reason to celebrate. Not only were those Jews glad, and the Bible says they glorified God when they heard about the Gentiles being saved, when Barnabas arrives in Antioch in the section beginning with verse 19 and he sees that the grace of God has come to the people of Antioch, the Bible says that he was glad. He was filled with gladness and joy because he had seen the gospel touching the lives of the people in Antioch. Now, some of you this morning, I hope you look at me. Listen, please look at me. Some of you really look depressed today. You may have a good reason to be. I don't know. Some of you look disappointed and saddened today. It's hard. It's hard. Would you agree it's hard in today's world to find gladness? Isn't it hard to be glad in today's world? You're not even responding to me today. I'm just going to preach till you start responding. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock this afternoon. It is hard to find gladness in today's world. Can I tell you what the church of Jesus needs right now, this moment? This day, it's us taking the word of the gospel to households that are lost, them getting saved by the power and the Spirit of God, and then we're going to be glad. Only then are we going to be glad. That's the only true satisfaction and joy that comes in the heart of the children of God is when they see somebody come to faith in Jesus, not just because of them, but because of the Spirit of God who does all of that work. But they had an opportunity to share Jesus with them, and they came to faith in Jesus. The Church of America is nearly dead. That's almost a misnomer, isn't it? Because the church can't be dead. But the public church is nearly dead because we have characterized the presence of God. Listen to me, church. This is going to be convicting to some of you. We think that God is not here because the music doesn't stir us. Hello? Hello? We think that God is dead because we didn't sing the right music that moved me emotionally. It wasn't charged. It wasn't high energy. It wasn't this. We don't think that God is here. Listen, when God shows up, it'll be about the salvation of the lost. When God comes, we will see repentance and forgiveness of sins. When God comes, we're going to see sin falling out of the lives of people because of conviction. And we need to quit worrying about petty things and pray, God, break our hearts with the gospel of Jesus to take it to someone who is lost. We have lost our joy. We've lost our joy. We've lost our gladness because we've forgotten our gladness comes when salvation comes to a person. What did the Lord even say as he taught? There is more joy in heaven over one lost person that repents than over 99 of us that get together and sing our songs. You say it didn't say that in my Bible. It does mine. It's exactly what it says in mine. There's more joy in heaven over one lost than there ought to be a whole lot more joy in the church if there's joy in heaven. We need to understand that we have reason to celebrate. Christ has changed us and changed others. And he's going to change more as we share the gospel. Listen, you may not believe the gospel as much as I do. I'm a firm believer. If I share the gospel, somebody's going to get saved. I believe that. That's because the power of the gospel is not in how eloquent I am. It's not how well I can speak it. It's not if I know all the answers to all their questions. I believe there's power in the Spirit of God that when I share the sweet, sweet story of how Jesus died on a cross because we are sinners condemned to death, but by faith and repentance can be saved and made at peace with God. I believe there's a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that has the ability to save souls. Don't you? I do. I've got good reason to celebrate the glory of the Lord. But then thirdly, because some of you are thinking about lunch, and we got a birthday party to go to, don't we, Aubrey? By the way, Aubrey, come here, Aubrey. This is my granddaughter, Aubrey. I can do this even in preaching, and Jesus will let me do it. Got a birthday today, don't we, Aubrey? How old are you?
Eight.
8 years old. Go sit down, Aubrey. We're going to eat cake later. Some of you are thinking, we got things to do. I'm not through preaching yet. And again, if you don't start responding, you're going to have to go out one at a time. I'm going to just keep preaching. Point number three. You know me better than that. If you're a guest, you don't know me. Please, that I'm not serious if you're a guest. If you're a guest, you're thinking, that guy is crazy and I will never be back here again. Please don't judge the whole crew by me, all right? The third thing I see in this text is a purpose for life. What is your purpose in life? What is your pursuit? What do you long for? What do you wake up every morning desiring to become or to do? Something, again, that I really want to stress to us this morning is found in verse 23. After Barnabas gets to Antioch, he is filled with gladness when he sees that the grace of God has come to many. And it says this, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Then the Bible says some things about Barnabas, but then he says that he departed to find Saul. And he found Saul in Tarsus, and he brought him back to Antioch. And for a whole year, they were assembled, teaching many people much about the Lord. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You and I are to have one purpose in life, and that purpose is that we would follow Christ. Follow Christ. You say, I'm following Christ, I got saved. No. That was your life, eternal life experience where you came into a relationship with God. Now we're called upon to pursue Christ, to follow Him. Can you imagine for a whole year, they sat down together and taught them what it was to be a Christ follower. The Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, the outside world called them Christians out of shame. They were trying to shame them. They were trying to make fun of them. Little did they know that they were giving them the definition for all of us, that when we come to know Christ, we are to pursue Him and become Christ followers. That simply means that we want to live and be and act and strive to know Him so much that we become just like Him. How many of you spent your lifetime around some people? Have you noticed you have a tendency to become like them? I hear people all the time. Some of you will get a kick out of this. Remember that day when you said, I will never be like my mom and dad? Remember that day? It happened, didn't it? You hung around them way too long. And if you and I would understand that our purpose in life, listen, it's not to be a CEO, although you can be a CEO. It's not to be a professional in whatever field you're in, although God wants you to be a professional in many fields. My purpose in life is not preaching. No. My purpose in life is to pursue Christ. My purpose in life is to persevere. too many people I know who say they know Christ who are no longer persevering. I don't even know where they are. They're not even in the circle anymore. You say, well, Pastor, you ought to know. No, they ought to be faithful to persevere. I do care. I understand that. I do desire to find out. Only got a few thousand to try to find out, but I do desire. But here's the point. My purpose in life is to persevere. To learn more, to grow more, to be more, to strive to be like my Christ. So that when people see me, they see so much of Christ in me that they say, there goes a Christian. And I can say, hallelujah, finally somebody saw it. We are to be Christ followers. That ought to be our pursuit in life. Now, folks, listen, that doesn't just happen. It takes discipline to be a Christ follower. Can you imagine for a year, intensely, they sat down together to learn what it meant to be a Christ follower? Now, this is going to be convicting to people. I can't ask Christians in this church for a commitment for 2 weeks. You know what we say? Well, I just don't want to make a commitment anymore. I'm afraid I can't keep it. The reason we're afraid we can't keep it is, and maybe I'm starting to meddle, is we got too many other things that we're pursuing. Hello? Our pursuits, we say, I don't want to commit to that because it's going to interfere with this pursuit. There was a day in my life when my pursuit was not on Christ and I knew Him in my life. I remember that struggle so vividly when God was working in my heart to pursue Him more and more. And I said, but I can't do that because if I do, I got to give up my softball. If I do, I got to give up my basketball. I can't play as many basketball games through the week. And I can't go to the softball field 3 or 4 nights a week. And my kids can't participate in school things. Can I ask you, what's wrong with giving up all of that to pursue Jesus? You see, that's not good preaching in today's modern world because we are a humanistic, selfish society. I'm not going to be like a lot of preachers that you may listen to that tell you you've got a great day awaiting you. You deserve to have a good day. You ought to have it your way. You ought to do what you want to do. No. It's not about me and doing what I want to do. When I trusted Christ, I turned the reins over to Him. Now I'm to pursue Him. I'm to follow Him. And whether you like that or dislike that, whether you think that's good or bad, the bottom line is this, it is truth. And today what we need is people who will find that their purpose in life is to pursue Jesus Christ and to seek after Him with all their heart, with all of their days. Doesn't it do you good to see some of our, quote, older people? They're not old, they're just older. Who you've watched pursue Christ. I'm going to get in trouble. I stay in trouble. Brother Austin, where are you back there? Wave at me, Austin Cosby. Thank you. Thank you for showing me what it means to pursue Christ. Miss Loretta's at home. She can't wait to get back with us. They're only in their 90s. They didn't just start following Christ and pursuing Him. No. They have pursued Him. In some rocky times, in some hard times, Austin didn't know. I didn't even know I was going to call his name. But I'm glad that I've got a man like that, that I know, understood, that when Christ became Lord and Savior of his life, he was to pursue Him and not be moved by every wave and everything that happened and every tendency that happened and even to stay faithful to the church. You see, those two go hand in hand. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's hard to say to me you love Christ and not love His church. Hello? Then why is it so many people get so upset about some little petty thing in the church and they leave? I watched Austin. And this is not about Austin. It's about the Lord in his life. We need to pursue Christ. You say, Pastor, you need to finish. You done given us 3 sermons. I got one more and I'll be through. Number 4. Not only do I see a purpose for life, and that is to persevere, to follow Christ, I want to end with a partnership in ministry. Did you know the gospel is bigger than us? Do you know the testimony of the gospel really hinges on you and I being true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that we are Christ followers and that there's a world that sees us and they watch us and they want to see a testimony for the Lord. In the latter part of this text, we read how that hard times came to the church at Jerusalem. And that relief was gathered and sent by the brethren back to the church at Jerusalem by the hands of the elders. And what I want to say by that is this. We are in partnership in ministry. Can I tell you something? This church doesn't just need a pastor. It needs folks like you. Doesn't just need staff members. It needs members just like you who understand that we are partners in ministry. And we need to understand that the gospel is not going to make it if it's just dependent upon us, that there are other churches that we're partnering with. And there are times when times get hard, and the best testimony to a church is when we as people, individuals, and as a church show love and compassion and relief to those around us, and people say, that's very uncommon in a world today. What would make anybody do that? Because God has called us to partnership in ministry. Why this is important is this, and I won't call any names. He had no ideas. He shared this with me the other night. I wouldn't dare call a name, but I had a dear brother that blessed my heart. He shared with me how God had opened up an opportunity for them to be able to bless someone else. And I said to him, now that was the gospel in action. Unselfishly, could have been very selfish to do. When's the last time God put upon your heart to do something that was not easy to do? It cost you. You had to give something of yourselves, but you did it for the sake of the gospel. We are partners in ministry. I was at Dundee Baptist Church. I shared with you this morning for a meeting. We were talking about the possibility of the two churches merging and praying about that and the churches voting on that in a couple of weeks. And I think that group of leaders around that table, that small group of leaders, three or four with Pastor Steve Stone, who a year and a half ago, I said to them, I said, listen, a year and a half ago, you didn't want to acknowledge this, and I wasn't about to tell you this, but physically, the church plant at Dundee was about dead. It was about to go. It wasn't going to make it. It just was not going to make it. And I said, but I want to thank you as leaders for trusting the Lord and for reaching out and allowing others to help. And I said, Steve, I want to thank you for driving that distance every week for little or nothing and to give of yourself in a very, very difficult situation and time in your life as you're getting ready to try to retire and you're working long hours. And I said, but I'm not telling any of you, I'm telling you that because had you not been sensitive enough to allow yourself to minister to one another and to give of yourself, then this church wasn't going to make it. One of them stopped me and said this, Pastor Roy, the truth is this. Had Monroe Missionary Baptist Church not helped us, we would not have made it. Now listen to me. I take no pride in that. When I say Monroe Missionary Baptist Church, I know what that person meant. What they were saying is God used you. God used you to help us when we couldn't help ourselves. And we thank God for that today. What a testimony to the glory and the grace of our Lord in our lives. And it's not just about church to church. I'm glad today that I can stand here and say about 35% of everything you bring goes outside these doors directly to some form of mission work. We got people overseas. They wouldn't be there if we weren't supporting them. And we are to be giving relief to them. But it's bigger than that. I'm not going to let you off the hook to think we got a pretty good church here. What about you being the church? Who is the person this week that God's going to put in your path where you're going to be able to take your wallet out of your pocket and give your money to? And if you don't have the money, because I'm hearing all these young people today say, well, I don't have cash. I bet you got a PIN number that can get cash. I bet you do. You're going to go out of your way to say, just wait here. I'll be right back. or can I come back to your house tonight? Or there's a neighbor down the street who you know struggling. That widow lady. They don't need to have to ask for it. You go to the grocery and you buy that food and you take it to their house. Or you go sit with that dear man who just lost a wife and he doesn't have children and family. And you provide relief. You see, relief comes in a lot of ways, does it not? I see that we as people of God need to be partners in ministry so that God can get glory in and through us and in and through His church. I know that's a lot of stuff this morning, but I pray God, by His word, as we sang before I even preached, God, let your word speak to us, that God has spoken to you. Not me, God has spoken to you. And now we will walk in His ways by faith, believing and trusting that His purposes are good and sure. And in those, He can be glorified.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.